Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our Big Time Talker podcast. We're live at the beautiful Hilton Blue Lagoon Resort in Miami, Florida, looking out through the ninth story studio window today as we interview authors who are all Reader's Favorite Award winners. The Reader's Favorite Awards are tonight here in Miami, and I'm fortunate to be a part of the whole thing. And also want to say a big thank you to SpeakerMatch.com, our show sponsor. SpeakerMatch is the world's largest online virtual speakers bureau. If you are a platform speaker, or maybe you're a meeting planner, and you're looking for a speaker, you can find one another at their very robust search engine platform at SpeakerMatch.com. Lots of our authors are speakers. Lots of the authors at Reader's Favorite have interesting stories. The three ladies that we're going to talk with today may have the most interesting story of all of them here, and there are over 400 authors at the Miami Hilton. Karen Foster wrote a book called Reasons for Waking, but we're not going to talk with Karen Foster today. We're going to talk to her sisters, Lori, Nancy, and Beth. So ladies, welcome to the podcast, The Big Time Talker. And I want to start with you, Lori. Why are you here, and why is Karen not here to talk about the book?
Well, we're here because, unfortunately, our sister Karen passed away in March of 2022, shortly before the book was published. She had finished it, she had found a publisher, but then did not live to see it published. And so we all promised her that we would do everything possible to get the book published for her. We were successful in doing that. It was published in June of this year, and then she won this Reader's Favorite Silver Award. So we're here to accept the award on her behalf.
It's a pretty special thing. And so, Nancy, how many kids were there total, and how many of you were actually involved in this process to bring your sister's book to fruition?
So there are six of us. Karen was the oldest of the six of us. There are five girls and one boy. So it was really kind of an interesting gift that Karen gave to us, because it really brought us together even closer than we already were to work on getting the book published for her. And so we've had lots of calls and conversations and Zoom calls to get the book to the place where it is today. And so it was really a special gift that she didn't realize she was leaving to us. And it's really let us have more memories of her and share them together. So it's been really a great, great project for us.
The book is called Reasons for Waking, and you can find it online at reasonsforwaking.com. Lori and Nancy and Beth are here to talk about their sister Karen Foster's book that was released after her passing. So we'll talk about the book in a minute, Beth, but I want to talk first about your sister. Tell us about Karen.
Karen was really quite remarkable. So she was born with a legally blind, and they restored 3% of her vision. So not only did she write this book, but her career was in editing. So that's pretty remarkable in itself. And she did not want special accommodations. Most people didn't realize that she did not have the sight that the rest of us have in this world. So she did all of this while really, working through her disability, if you will call it that. And she would hate to have the word disability, because to her, it wasn't a disability. It was just the way life was for her. And that's what also made her very remarkable. She also had amazing friends, was involved in a lot of different things as well. She really loved her dogs. English Springer Spaniels were her breed. And she spent most of her life working with them, showing them. She was about the breed standards, so she spent a lot of time involved in that, did a lot of volunteering and training and all types of things within the dog world as well. So she had a lot of different loves in her life, in addition to horses, but she had dogs because she couldn't put a horse in her house. So
if she could have, then it would have happened.
She would have, yes, exactly. So she was a really remarkable person. Also, knowing that she was blind, legally blind, she was not able to drive. And she still, that did not keep her at home. She still did many things and lived a very normal life despite that.
And what did she do for a living?
She was an editor for CDC for many years, and then eventually retired from that, and then continued to work as a contract editor the rest of her life, and while she worked on her book as well.
The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta.
Correct. Absolutely. Yes.
Wow. Okay. So, Lori, what does it mean to be 3% and have 3% of your vision? What is that really like? When you talked with Karen about it, I mean, what do you see and what do you not see at that level?
Well, she described it several different ways. When she read, for example, she said, "The rest of you see letters that form a word. I see the shape of the word on the page." And it enabled her to read actually very, very quickly. She told me one time that when she sees trees, she just sees, you know, green. And sometimes she can see a little bit underneath it, the trunk. But she doesn't see branches and leaves and all those sorts of things. She had no peripheral vision, so she would always walk a little bit behind whoever she was with so that she could sort of guide her movements on their movements. She would count steps between places. She had routines, like she would put everything in a certain place so that she would always know where it was when she went to get it. So, I mean, there were all kinds of little things that some of them I don't think any of us realized until later. Exactly what she would do. You know, she would have to, when she watched television, when we were kids, we had, you know, there were a lot of us, so it was crowded in front of a TV, but we had one of those big TVs that sat on the floor, and her spot was always the left corner. When you're facing the TV on the left, that corner, and that was where she sat every time we sat down to watch a TV show together.
And this was something that happened to her at birth, right? So she never had proper vision.
Right. Karen was born with congenital cataracts, so she was born blind, and she had 6 surgeries between birth and the time she was 2 years old, and that is what restored a little bit of her vision. So she, you know, was very thankful to have the vision that she had, and it enabled her to do the things that she did, which was quite unbelievable. And in our family, we never thought anything about it. She was just one of the gang, and because we grew up in a military family and we moved around a lot, we depended on each other as we moved around, and so her vision did not impact her in a negative way growing up in our family.
So that explains then, Beth, why I read somewhere, just as I skimmed through this information, that your sister was born in a Quonset hut.
Yes.
And so you guys moved around. So I have to ask each of you. I'll start with you, Beth. Your favorite duty station that you were at growing up, where did you like?
For me, it was Virginia. So I spent, by the time, I'm the youngest of the whole group. So by the time, there's 12 years between Karen and myself. And by the time I was in middle school, high school, my dad retired from the military. So we were in Virginia when he retired and stayed in Virginia. So for me, that was my favorite part. And I was in the Fairfax, Virginia area.
Right outside D.C. All right, Nancy, what about you? Favorite duty station?
Well, for me, it had to be Pennsylvania because, again, I was in high school in Pennsylvania. So I had 3 years there. And I think it had a lot to do with my age. But I have to say that when I think back, we were in Middletown, Rhode Island, Newport, Rhode Island, during my elementary school years, and that I have a lot of fond memories of that as well.
All right. Lori, you went on to go into the Navy, so this is old hat to you, but favorite duty station from when you were a kid?
I would have to agree with Nancy that it has to be Central Pennsylvania, and that is because I went to my first 3 years of high school there. But I also have very fond memories of Rhode Island. We were there for a total of 5 years, so it left a big impression on me.
All right, now I'm going to call you out, and only you, Lori. Worst duty station?
While we were kids?
Oh, all around. But you went on to be a career Navy lady.
Yes.
Come on.
I don't know.
Throw some mud.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Every place you move to has
here it comes. Here comes
positive.
The diplomacy. All right. I won't put you on the spot anymore. So Nancy, the book, let's talk about this book that Karen wrote. And by the way, again, it's a Reader's Favorite Award winner, and the reviews that I've read are just incredible. It's called Reasons for Waking. It has nothing to do with Karen's disability. What is the book about? If you were to describe it, somebody said, okay, we've heard all about your sister, but what is this book that she wrote about? How do you describe it?
So the book, the first thing I have to say, it is written from a man's perspective. He's the main character, and Philip. And it is about his family and a tragedy that has occurred with his family, and he finding with with another character the truth about what happened and how that tragedy that separated the family brought them back together, and just how the lies and truths were so instrumental.
So there's six of you kids, and Beth, you said you're the youngest, 12 years younger than your sister?
Correct, yes.
So when you heard that this book was a thing, and then you actually read the book, sort of talk me through that timeline, because in the midst of all this, your sister became very ill and then she passed. So can you sort of paint that timeline for me?
Yes, so she started the book writing, and initially she didn't tell all of the family that she was writing this book. And I think she just wanted to get it to where it was to a good point where we would all, you know, be able to read it and it was more finished. And she had told us that when she did finally tell us about the book, which was probably about a year before she was diagnosed, she had started on it. And she did mention that she was writing a book, but still kept details very minimal to all of us. And we each got little pieces of the book, but not really the full story. So then when she did pass away, and we were trying to get this published, the publisher that we were working with said, you really need to read this book. So Lori read it first because she was initially helping with the edits. She had just retired and had the time, so she was working with them, and she read it, and then we got to all read it. So it was great because we finally were able to read the book and were shocked by how awesome this book was. I mean, she was our sister, so I know, you know, that was part of it, but it really is a great story. And how detailed her writing is, considering she was legally blind. The details in the book, you would never guess that somebody who was legally blind wrote this story because of the details that she could include. And from there, you know, we wanted to share her story because it's just so remarkable that this book is as great as it is. And it's not, again, not just because she's our sister, but because the book is truly has great character development and has, you know, great details and is a really heartwarming story.
It's worth getting the word out to take away that it's your sister.
Absolutely, absolutely. And she did include some little details of our lives in there. The story is not about anything. It is fiction. It's not about our lives, but there are pieces of our growing up that we can see in there. The hardest part is that we can't ask her the questions about it now. So it would be so nice if we could sit down and just talk to her about the book. So that's the hard part about not having read it while she was still alive.
Being so much younger than her, and I'm an only child, so it's fascinating when I talk to these big families where you guys like have to fight over the food on the dinner table. She was out and gone, I guess, by the time you were in elementary school, right?
When I went to kindergarten, she left for college.
So what does that relationship look like? How do you form a relationship with a sister who's away?
We still had a very close relationship. And I would say in some instances, I think because, and she wasn't motherly to me. Karen was not really a bossy person or I would say not a stereotypical oldest child. But she was very, you know, we got along very well. And even after she graduated and then I was in high school and all of that, I would go to visit her. You know, she was well into getting her adult life going. I would visit her and spend a lot of time with her and had continued that all through her life of having that relationship with her. So even though we were, you know, not necessarily raised together, it was almost, even though we have the same parents, almost like two different families in a sense because I was so much younger. We still kept in touch, and I used to write her letters when she was in college and send her pictures, and we also have a dog connection. Dogs were her life, and I love dogs as well, and we had that connection. So that was always something that we shared.
Lori, what do you hope to accomplish with all this? What do you want to see happen with your sister's book?
Well, I guess we just want to share it with the world. Originally, our goal was just to get it published. But then once we realized what a great book it was and it won an award, we thought, you know what? The rest of the world needs to read this, and we want to get for her the recognition that we think she deserved.
So, Nancy, there's one boy amongst you all. How difficult was it for that kid growing up?
Oh, he had it really good. So
yeah, come on now.
He was number five. So he was like a live baby doll to the four oldest of us. I'm number three. So when he was hungry and needed something to eat, we would make it for him. So he really, I think, got the benefit of having four older sisters. And then, of course, having Beth as his younger sister. But he's been, he is such a great brother, and we love having him as a brother. And it's been really nice to have a boy in the family. I don't know how my dad did it with all the girls, but but he did.
There's probably an award for him there somewhere.
Yeah.
For your dad. Are the other two siblings, your brother and your other sister, were they involved in this process with the book?
Yes, they are. So we're all very involved, as well as our spouses. So that's been really nice to bring us all together. And that's a special gift that Karen left us as well, is to be able to work on this together.
Well, it's an incredibly unique story, and I'm really glad that you shared it with our listeners today. The book, again, is called Reasons for Waking. Karen Foster is the author. The book was released posthumously, and it's available now. Where? Lori, where can folks get the book and find out more?
Well, they can get it on Amazon. They can also get it on Barnes & Noble. They can go to their favorite independent bookseller, and they can order it for them.
All right, very good. And the website again is?
www.reasonsforwaking.com.
Reasons for Waking, which is the title of the book from Karen Foster. Well, Lori, Nancy, Beth, thank you guys for being here today, and thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for listening to our Big Time Talker podcast. We have new episodes every Tuesday, and they're available at Spotify, Apple iTunes, iHeartMedia, wherever you download your podcast. Thank you for listening. Live in Miami at the Reader's Favorite Awards, I'm Burke Allen. Now go out and make it a great day. Bye, everybody.